So you've done much, and as I said, I admire you. I've learned a lot from you, and I understand you're laying some political groundwork in Cancun for a potential mayoral bid there. Rumor has it your operatives are already on the ground there in Cancun. So, but finally, and I shouldn't. I also want to acknowledge you're reaching out to our sister cities, to other countries on economic missions, but also to other cities and counties in the state. I too have witnessed the extreme positive feedback at League of Oregon Cities meetings or any place I've gone to the fact that you've gone to their cities, their counties, and met with them and listened to them. It's been it's had a very positive effect, and I thank you for reaching out and helping to make the state truly, you know, one Oregon. So thank you, Tom, very much.
Thank you.
Enough about me. Rob and Tom, thank you so much for being here this morning. You two are really part of our treasure of elected officials in the area, and I do hope that our community really appreciates what you have done for them, so thank you very much. And Karen, thank you, with your little tiny camera going. you've been my partner. I couldn't have done it without you. Okay. Let's go to item 1792. Thank you, folks. If you have to leave, please do. It won't be offensive at all. I'll be leaving shortly after you. Please pick up one of the voodoo donuts outside. They're absolutely wonderful, and we're going to be commemorating their effort in just a few minutes. So please read.
1792. Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland Public Schools and the Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District of Oregon to expand a pilot program to offer fareless public transportation for students at three Portland high schools with the intention to measure results and expand the program as appropriate.
This was heard last week, so this is technically a second reading, but I would ask one of the commissioners to bring it back. It went in last week as an emergency vote, but we didn't have enough folks here to vote on it. And that this is an important issue for the bus passes for our youth. And it'd really be nice if we could get this started up by the 1st of January. So if there was a motion to amend.
So moved.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Now please call the vote on the ordinance.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. That is a wonderful event. I'm just so pleased that our young people will have transportation this coming year, and that we hope we can expand it into the other high schools of Portland. It's such an important thing for our young people, so I really appreciate the support of the council. Please read item 1793.
Designate Portland Cream as the official City of Portland donut.
This is the fun part. Trace, Cat, Daddy, come on up. These two guys are the owners of Voodoo Donuts, and I'm sure all of you know them. If you've ever walked in a parade in Portland, Oregon, they often, if it passes by 3rd and Burnside, they're there to hand out a donut to whoever's in the parade. These guys are just two amazing people. If you watch television at all, they're on the Food Channel. They're on so many different national channels. They're great promoters of their product, which is, I can attest to, a great product. And they're also great promoters for Portland. Both of them would like to actually at some point go on to the Royal Rosarians, and I would hope that at some point you folks get that wish.
Oh, what a great idea.
We'll be talking to you soon.
It's in the works.
And Trace actually has his Royal Rosarian uniform.
I do.
I'm not sure where he got it, but I'm sure that you paid good money for it. So
I did. Some Royal Rosarian in their underwear.
Bartered.
So before I read the proclamation and we vote to make this the official donut Portland, I wanted to give you two folks a chance to talk, and I think you also brought a couple of other folks in here.
Hi, my name is Kenneth Pox, and I'm co-owner of Voodoo Donuts.
Is that your real name?
That is my real name.
Cat Daddy's not your real name?
That's the official name of the business.
Okay.
Cat Daddy LLC, we do business as Voodoo Donut.
Okay.
We would like to thank Mayor Potter, the city council as well, and the people of Portland, and Travel Portland's been very, very good to us, and the tourists of Portland, which we love this city very much, and we stump for the city, and we love talking to the tourists and seeing, you know, there's travelers, there's business people that all come to see us. It was 20 years ago this week that I moved to Portland, Oregon from Memphis, Tennessee. It was just under 10 years ago where I shook hands with my business partner to go into business, and we didn't even know what we were going to do. We knew two things, though. It was going to be unique, and it was going to be very Portland. We finally decided on a Voodoo Donut, and once we got down to it, we came up with the cream-filled donut, which out east is named after another unfortunate city. But we wanted it to stand out for our city, so we named that donut the Portland Cream. And we had to make it different from that other city on the East Coast cream. And so we gave it two eyes, which we claimed gave Portland vision. And it's a simple notion. It's a simple idea on a silly item such as a donut, but it's something that Trace and I fervently believe in. We've really loved this town. I now have been here 20 years this week. I married someone from Portland. My children are now fourth-generation Oregonian. And I love this city, and nothing could be more personable to me after being here for 20 years to be involved in something as nice as this. And I really thank you very much.
Thank you.
I was born in Portland, Oregon, and I love the city. I love working with Kenneth. Donuts, I didn't really expect the fanaticism of donuts when we opened it up. I know people like fried dough, but the people really spoke. they love fried dough, and that we were able to come up with something that represents Portland. And my bigger dream of all of this is hopefully we can sort of barnstorm statewide and even take it further and get the Portland cream, known as the Portland cream, this side of the Mississippi all the way. So take that, Boston.
Well, thank you very much.
When do we get to eat one?
I've told these guys they can't have any until after this proclamation.
Until after, okay.
Right. Waiting, I got
there,
money.
There are some outside.
Wait a second.
You know, there you go.
And who says Tom Potter doesn't tell me what to do? I have not touched that since he said, don't you dare until that vote happens.
Did you have some other folks that you wanted to speak, or you?
Well, you know, Deborah Wakefield from Travel Portland was going to speak, and our lawyer, Cole Haver, was going to speak, but both of them are stuck up on the Hill. So we ended up kind of having to ham it up ourselves. But
good for Sam and I, because we want to bite.
Reiterate, too, that Deborah Wakefield of POVA and POVA in general have just been great to the business and awesome as far as...
given us an opportunity to travel for Portland, to promote Portland and Oregon. The Travel Bureau has sent us to New York, and when he and I separately got a gig to speak at a convention in Chicago this year about our marketing skills, it was a marketing convention, they flew us out there. The Travel Bureau helped us out significantly with our PowerPoint presentation, since we're not the computer people. They were able to jazz it up. And, of course, they added a little extra Portland in there, which was great. And it went over very well, and they've been very supportive of us ever since.
We're over the moon. This is a great day.
It's just exciting to be part of.
I think we should vote for this before I read the proclamation, just to make sure they're consistent. So,
let's take our time on this.
Carly, could you please call the roll?
Aye.
Fish.
Well, you know, just you mentioned that Cole Haber is your lawyer.
Yes.
So if I ever get returned to the practice of law, I want to become Cole, because he represents Voodoo. He represents Voodoo Donuts and Storm Large. That's got to be the best two clients in town.
Yeah, he's a good one.
Congratulations. Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I have about a 10-minute speech prepared.
Here
are donuts.
No, I just want to say,
you don't.
I'm very
one.
Pleased to designate or to finally have an official donut here in the city of Portland, and to really thank both of you for Voodoo Donuts. I am one of those people, I'm sure we all are, when we go speak to groups that are visiting from out of town, you know, one of the first things I say is, you know, wait till 10 o'clock and you can go to a great place called Voodoo Donuts, and it's very much, you know, it's part of Portland. And, you know, people do go there, as you just attested. You get a lot of tourists in there. And it's just a great business, great food, and thank you very much. And I better stop talking right now. Aye.
Potter.
You know, I've spent a lot of time with you guys. Actually, one of the first times was the mayoral candidates donut eating contest.
Boy, that's a dignified event.
Boy, that's right. You,
midnight on a sidewalk.
In front of Voodoo Donuts.
Yeah.
200 people, like one-third my age. And it was just an amazing event. Because the primary person I was running against did not show, you folks decided to, and there were like six that did, you decided to put on the 11 donuts, which were also the same number of letters in his last name. And I thought that was very clever. And I remember we had 4 minutes and 2 seconds to eat the 11 donuts. And there was an Alice Cooper song playing in the background.
I Want to Be Elected by Alice Cooper.
Yes. And, you know, having that many donuts at 11 o'clock at night, you know, didn't sit well, but I really can't listen to that Alice Cooper song anymore.
Anymore?
Because of the effects of those
11
donuts.
You listened to Alice Cooper before
that? Oh, yeah. I got a Volkswagen camper, right? But I just think you folks have done remarkably well. You know, we brag about our businesses here in Portland. I think you folks personify a small business that is immensely successful, based solely on the talents and your ability to market and to attract a clientele. I mean, I've been in both of your donut places, and whenever I go in, it's always crowded. And I think that's a good sign for Portland, and it's a good sign for you folks. So thank you for what you do. Thank you for all the contributions you've made to our city. And I was very serious about the Royal Rosarians. I would hope very much that you folks could be on it. I think they could use a little breath of fresh air and some folks with a different color hair. So, and I love all those folks dearly. And, in fact, one of our folks is going to be the prime minister soon that works for the city. But I've got this proclamation. Whereas Voodoo Donuts, like the city of Portland, has a vision and opened its first shop in Portland on May 30th, 2005, and whereas Voodoo Donuts' fifth anniversary was celebrated on May 30th, 2008 with the Grand Parade, you know, the fifth anniversary, let's see, 2005, 2008, that's 3 years.
May 30th, 2003 was our
2003, event. Thank you. That's why it's five. Was celebrated on May 30th, 2008 with a grand parade that consisted of more than 1,000 participants and bikers from Old Town to open a second shop on 1501 Northeast Davis, Portland. And I must say I participated in that parade, and that was one of the funner parades I've been in.
It was a fun parade.
Whereas Voodoo Donuts is recognized as one of the top 10 donut shops in America and continues to earn the acclaim of local, national, and international media for its creative, flavorful, and unsurpassed quality of donuts, handmade with lots of love. Whereas Voodoo Donuts created a raised donut filled with cream, covered in chocolate with two eyes, and christened it the Portland Cream in honor of the city of Portland. And Portlanders are well aware that locally owned donut shops help form the foundation of our economy. And I say as a former police officer, also the health and welfare of police officers, and our patronage, and ensures the growth, longevity, and provision of world-class donuts in the employment of Portlanders. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby declare Voodoo Donuts Portland Cream as the official City of Portland donut and encourage all Portlanders to support and enjoy the succulent taste of Portland Cream by seeking and purchasing it in appreciation of Voodoo Donuts' contributions to our economy and bringing recognition and fame to our beloved city. Thank you. Yeah. And I vote you. Thank you very much, folks.
I
have the official.
Thank you.
That's good.
Oh, did you have your bite already?
Yep.
Okay.
You don't get any.
Mm.
They're all out.
Did you have to eat 11 donuts at the each can?
Yeah, it was brutal.
That is brutal.
that good?
That is delicious. That's good.
You ought to try their apple crisp, too. That's the one I like. Those kind of remind me of old cop days, but that's another story.
We'll tell it later.
Yeah. Okay.
Commissioner Leonard.
Okay. Thank you, Trace, Cat Daddy. You guys are great. There's donuts out there. If anybody, I think there's some.
They're all
out
gone,
there.
Tom.
Are they all gone?
No, there's here. They're right here.
Okay, there's still a few there.
There's still a few up there. Did you guys get one?
If there's any left, Dan and I would, sure, we'd love one if there's. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. You can have one too?
Yes. Could you,
I think
Carla, would you take one and also have Ben?
Oh, excuse me.
About 10 minutes long.
Oh. Put the napkins here.
No.
Use your sleeve.
Thank you, Dan. Always prepared.
Carl, I want you to have one.
Not one.
Okay.
Good.
Well, it's good.
You know, one of the enjoyable parts about this job is working with Carla.
Thank you.
She's
Dan.
One of our unsung heroines. She's always there.
Here, here.
She's not afraid. Let's have a hand for Carla. You've taken me out of a jam many a time, so thank you very much for keeping
me. It's been a pleasure working with you too, Mayor.
On the path. Thank you. So please enjoy the donuts. We'll move right along. You're not going to eat it, Dan?
I'm going to eat it after the meeting.
Okay.
He's very disciplined.
He is very disciplined. Please read item 1794.
Accept Emergency Management Performance Grant Fiscal Year 2008 Final Report and authorize an agreement for annual funding with the State of Oregon to cooperate and implement the Fiscal Year 2009 EMPG Work Plan.
Is anyone here from POEM to discuss this? I suspect they're kind of busy right now. The Office of Portland Emergency Management has done a tremendous job in working with the mayor-elect and myself to ensure that the roads are safe in our city and that the flow of vehicles has not diminished. And I'm very proud of the fact that being the largest city in this area that we have been able to do it within our own resources and not have to detract from any of the resources that the state had that other cities needed more. Natalie. Was anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Okay, well, this is about accepting money, so could we vote on that?
I'm for that.
No.
We need it.
Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1795.
Authorize a letter of agreement with AFSCME Local 75, Local 189-2, authorizing employees grandfathered into the Senior Emergency Communications Dispatcher classification under the terms of the April 23, 2007 agreements shall remain in that classification until such time as fire certification training is made available to them.
Please proceed.
Mayor Potter and Commissioners. My name is Jarrell Gaddis. I'm the Labor Relations Coordinator for Bureau of Human Resources. The ordinance that I'm bringing forth to you today is regarding the Emergency Communication Operator 2, in which the senior dispatchers moved into that position. And now what we want to do is to provide them, currently they need to be trained in a 12-month period. What we're trying to do per the contract calls for them to be red circle if they don't complete the training in a 12-month period. What we want to do is to don't penalize them if they don't complete the training in the 12-month period based on issues beyond their control. We've had challenges with training, so that we want to provide them a safe haven so that they're not penalized in that manner.
What does red circled mean?
Red circled mean leaving them in their current classification without an increase.
I think it also means they don't lose a if they take a job that has a different pay scale that's lower, they stay at the pay scale. Correct, Lisa?
Yeah, Lisa Turley, Director, Bureau of Emergency Communications. What happened when this council originally authorized us to go to the four classification system instead of the two classification system? We had people who had not yet been fire certified. They were already in our pipeline as certified Echo 2s. And then we started hiring call takers. And what we and as they progress, we're also training them in fire. So what's happened is we kind of have a we management has a backlog of employees who need to be fire certified. But according to the old contract, they would suffer some pay penalties for that. But it's not their fault that they're not being trained. It's our fault. So what we want to do is just hold them in their status quo until we have the opportunity to provide them the proper training.
And when you say fire certified, you mean certified to do fire dispatch?
That's correct. Sorry.
Okay.
Other questions? Please, is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this, but Veronica would like to testify.
Good morning, council members. Good morning, Mayor Potter. You're looking well. December glow. Snowstorm agrees with you. Good morning, Commissioner Fish. Nice to see you. Good morning, Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Sam Adams, and Commissioner Randy Lynn. It's always good to see you. I just wanted to, hi, I'm Veronica. I'll just announce it real quick. Community health education from Portland State University, graduate 2005. And I have a degree in public health also. Commissioner Fish. Before you get up, I wanted to ask
nice try, Nick.
Man, okay, guys. There's nailed. A label in my chair. She stares. I'm like, it's like the lazy boy recliner.
Chair here that
yeah, the chair's attacking you again.
Thank you.
I think you made
well,
him blush.
Well, that was the old and to do. There we go.
Thank you.
Little comic relief. Seriously, fellas, you're doing a great job, everyone, including the mayor. You know, how you manage to pull it together month to month is amazing to all of us in public health. Every time you come through again with another plan and to help out the people, and I just wanted to say that we also salute these people here. As a former nurse, cardiovascular intensive care nurse for about 5 years and 20 years as a med-surg nurse, I do support their work. We see the other end of it. And it's really, really important to continue that through the lifespan in Portland. And also, Commissioner Randy Lennon, I know you're linked for the past. And I understand that you have some words in this, too, so I support that. And Commissioner Sam Adams, I know. this is totally extemporaneous. I wanted to say something really important. You're doing a great job clearing the sidewalks. And there's a guy named Jamie out there in front of Trader Joe's right now that will work for a few bucks and a sandwich and a hot cup of chocolate. So shoveling the snow during the snowstorm is important. I like Jamie, and I love the intrepid spirit of people from Portland. When they come through again, it's the city of volunteers all pulling together to work. And according to former Mayor Vera Katz, it is a city that works safely. And according to the current mayor, Tom Potter, we work quickly and get to the problem and solve it. So good for you. Good for you. Carry on. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good.
It's an emergency. Please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard. I'm sorry. Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1796.
Authorize a letter of agreement with the Bureau of Emergency Communication and ASME Local 189-2 to pay call taker certification pay upon Department of Public Safety Standards and Training certification.
Mayor Potter and Commissioners, my name is Jarrell Gaddis. I'm with the Labor Bureau of Human Resources, Labor Relations Coordinator. This ordinance was established so that call takers can receive increase upon DPSST certification. Right now, those current individuals aren't able to receive this increase due to the current contract. And what we want to is establish that increase upon certification and use that certification date in the future as date of increase per steps.
So again, excuse me, Lisa Turley, Director Opera, the Bureau of Emergency Communications. That's where I work. What this does is when we had the previous system with the Echo 2s, employees would be hired and receive a pay raise at 6 months. And then they would receive their final certification at about 18 to 20 months. What this does is it incentivizes those new employees who we expect to certify around 6 months, although they could certify between 4 and 8. So we're just going to give them their pay raise at the date that they do actually certify so that we incentivize them to certify as quickly as possible.
Questions? Thank you. You want to sign up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1797.
Authorize and amend contracts to extend the health and welfare contracts administered by the Bureau of Human Resources, Benefits, and Wellness Office.
Staff.
Good morning. My name is Scott Strauss. I'm the manager of Benefits and Wellness. And we're asking the council to allow us to extend our benefits contracts through March 31st to allow us to input our contracts into the new SAP system so that we can pay our vendors.
Any questions, commissioners?
So this is a technical?
Yes. Right. Yes.
Does anyone sign up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone here who wishes to testify on this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
City Commissioner-elect Amanda Fritz will be providing oversight to the wellness program in the new year. So looking forward to her working with you. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
Thank you.
Item 1798.
Accept bid of Parker Northwest Paving for the North Russell Street improvements, North Interstate to North Kirby project for $880,774.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a report to authorize a contract with Parker Northwest Paving in the amount of $880,773.90. And this is for the North Russell Street Improvement Project on behalf of the Bureau of Transportation. We did receive 12 bids on this particular project, and Parker Northwest was a low bid. We had 12 separate divisions of work identified as potential MWESB subcontracting opportunities. The result was 27.3% MWESB subcontractor participation, which is I think is pretty good. And they are in full compliance with our equal benefit requirements. It's a local firm, and their EEO is current. So I think we might have a representative here from transportation in case there are any questions.
Questions?
Good work on the certified firm participation. That's great.
Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address this issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1799.
Amend contract with SAP Public Services, Inc. to provide additional consulting services to assist in the completion of the city human capital management work required for implementation for the Enterprise Business Solution Project.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. Jennifer Sims, Office of Management and Finance. I very much appreciated and enjoyed your fun spirit you brought to the meeting today. And I'd like to also thank Mayor Potter for his service these last 4 years. So, Mayor Potter and members of the council, I'm pleased to report, as I know you've already heard, that our phase one of the Enterprise Business Solution Project went live as scheduled on November 26th. And our support and stabilization activities for the first phase are going well. Today I'm requesting you authorize an amendment to our contract 37969 with our implementation partner, SAP Public Consulting Services, for additional service related to phase two, the human capital management. This will provide needed functional and technical support. The amendment is for $388,080 and is already included in the adopted budget.
Questions from the commissioners? Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is anyone here who wishes to address this specific issue? It's an emergency. Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, I want to congratulate you for the successes at rolling out the going live of the program. Very challenging and necessary program. I know you've put in, you and your team have put in long, long hours. So congratulations. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I want to expand on what Commissioner Adams just said. It's because I think for some of us who've been here a while, not necessarily on the council, but in Portland, it is notorious when there's a glitch in a computer system and the hangover lasts for, it appears, a generation. But you and Ken have worked, I just know because I've met with you continuously throughout this, tirelessly along with your staff, evenings, weekends, and most people hearing this don't know what I'm talking about, and that's kind of my point, is that there has been no attention given to the excellent work done leading up to flipping the switch and having everything light up the way it's supposed to. And I continue to appreciate the hard work involved, and I certainly want to acknowledge not just you but and Ken, but all the people that are doing all the work that consumed more time than people have any idea of, and that you pulled it off. And, you know, and had it not been pulled off, we would have read, of course, stories for another generation about that. But you did a great job, and I'm very proud of the work that you did.
Thank you.
Saltzman.
I also just want to add my accolades to the hard work that you and Ken Russ and many city employees have done to make this a very smooth transition. So good work. Aye.
Potter.
I've told you this before, Jennifer. I just think you did a great job on this. Obviously, they put the right person in charge of it, and I think a lot is due to your perseverance and your great staff that you have around you and all those good consultants that have made a very difficult and large-scale business application software system possible for our city. So thank you very much, and please convey my thanks to Ken. I vote aye.
Thank you very much.
Please read item 1800.
Authorize a contract for $1,995,000 with IE Solutions for phase three of the computer-aided dispatch replacement project.
Morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Baer with the Bureau of Purchases, and before you is an ordinance to authorize executing a contract with IE Solutions for phase three of the computer-aided dispatch replacement project. And a couple of notable facts about the firm that we've selected from this. First off, this was a phased approach, and so back in October of 2006, we sort of set the stage that we would execute this agreement should we desire to do so. With this firm, they are a state-certified minority business enterprise, so it's 100% award of a $1.9 million contract to a state-certified MBE firm. They're Portland-based, so they're local, and they are in full compliance with our equal benefit requirements and current with the EEO. So I think Lisa might have some additional words.
Mayor, Council, Lisa Turley, Boeck. After almost 3 years of effort on the various phases of our computer-aided dispatch replacement project, we are finally ready to move to the final and perhaps most important phase. After working with IE Solutions as they have successfully managed both phase one and phase two of the project within budget and on time, as director of BOEC, the bureau most engaged with and affected by this project, I am recommending that the city enter into a contract with them for phase three. Phase one, the CAD assessment project, included an in-depth examination of the current CAD system and a strategy recommendation for its replacement. Phase two, CAD selection, included the creation of a formal system requirements and guiding us through the selection of a vendor using a competitive RFP process. During the course of these projects, IE Solutions has conducted an extremely thorough process, meeting with hundreds of individuals from BTS, BOEC, and all of our partner agencies, and always providing quality project deliverables. The most important factors of this project have always been the extreme high risk we are operating under because of our aging current CAD, the tenuous CAD programmer situation, and the criticality of hitting BOAC's very short go-live window. Any delay in beginning phase three of this project jeopardizes our ability to meet the February-March 2011 conversion window and pushes our implementation out another year, increasing the risk of the CAD programmer situation that much more and forcing our critical 911 services to rely on an ever-aging CAD system. Because of these risks and because IE Solutions has intimate knowledge of our current system, what our expectations are from the new system, the expectations of all the various agency and individual participants, and thousands of pages of RFP and contract documents that have been generated, I am requesting your support on authorizing IE Solutions as a sole source vendor. Thank you.
Questions? Commissioners.
Well, you've done a great job on this, Lisa, in addition to the issues that I acknowledged last week of your management skills at BOEC in general, and this in particular. You've really done an excellent job in managing and shepherding this really complicated project. Also, Mayor Potter needs to be acknowledged because this has been one of the things that he told me is a priority, along with the construction of the new Portland Office of Emergency Management building behind your location. So again, those are items that I will continue to focus on to make sure we reach completion. So I appreciate your really good work on this. This is one of those areas that if somebody wasn't as diligent as you are, the ramifications we don't even want to talk about, having our current CAD go out of the ability to be serviced is incomprehensible. And so I really appreciate your diligence on this.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, folks. Has anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is anyone here who wishes to address a specific issue? It's an emergency. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
I also want to thank Lisa and the folks at BOEC. Of all of the communication issues in the city of Portland, this is by far the most critical. If we don't have a 911 system, the city could come to a standstill. So this is very important. I appreciate the leadership of Commissioner Leonard and Lisa's staff, too, to work on this very important issue. As Commissioner Leonard said, I don't really think that most Portlanders realize how important this particular issue is to their safety and well-being. So
thank you.
Thank you all. I vote aye. Please read item 1801.
Implement improvements to the downspout disconnect program and establish administrative rules.
I think Commissioner Adams and yes. The BES staff.
This is a really good program that is so good that we all need a Dan Vizzini to describe it.
Thank you so much.
And as usual, I have a 30 to 40 minute PowerPoint.
That's too bad because I was going to vote for it.
Followed by one person here to testify. No, these are some administrative updates.
Yeah, Dan Vizzini, Bureau of Environmental Services, Mayor Potter, members of the council. I'm really here just to answer any questions you might have. The downspout disconnection program was one of the cornerstone programs for the combined sewer overflow project, and it was created in 1995. A remarkable model of citizen involvement, a partnership between the city and property owners. I think 56,000 properties have participated, 1.2 billion gallons of stormwater runoff per year not going into the combined sewer system. It's a program that's being replicated around the country, just a remarkable program. The work of this particular ordinance is a bit mundane. Well, what we're attempting to do is bring the program up to date with the new stormwater management manual that was approved in the fall, and to move administrative language out of the code and into administrative rules. and to clarify it so that participants of the program can understand what we're doing in an easier way. So what you have is an ordinance to amend a chapter of city code and then also adopt administrative rules.
Questions from the commissioners? Is anyone signed to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to address a specific issue? Non-emergency moves to a second reading. When will that reading be heard?
That'll be January 7th.
January 7th. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan. Good work on this.
Yes. Item 1802.
Vacate Northeast Junior Street and a portion of Northeast Liberty Street between Northeast 27th and 29th Avenues, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
So second reading, call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye.
Thank you.
Please read item 1803.
Assess benefited properties for improvements in the Portland Streetcar Lowell Extension Local Improvement District.
Second reading, call a vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1804. Did you want these read together or this one at a time?
They're separate issues. Separate.
Okay. Yeah. Please read item 1804.
Authorize a grant agreement with Portland Community College for the Evening Trades Apprenticeship Preparation to establish a pilot project to create access to a pool of work-ready applicants in the city construction and other related positions.
Mr. Leonard?
This is simply the technical document by which we're going to transfer $45,000 that was previously approved in the 08-09 budget to ETAP, which is an organization that some of you may be aware of, run by a woman, Deborah Williams, out from the old Columbia Villa area, wherein men and women, young men and women, middle-aged men and women who have had challenges in life are brought into this program by Deborah, and for the first time in their lives given skills to enter into apprenticeship programs. So they work collaboratively with the Building Trades Council and other apprenticeship union apprenticeship programs to help these individuals turn their lives around. I've gone to the ceremonies. I've participated in some of their events. It is one of the most outstanding programs to help people that have struggled up to that point in their lives with the variety of issues that I've ever witnessed. And this $45,000 is really just a small amount that will help Deborah do. She just does wonderful work in the community.
Questions from the commissioners? Is anyone signed to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet for this.
Okay, please call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank Commissioner Leonard for his leadership on this. When I served on the board of the Housing Authority of Portland, I got some firsthand exposure to ETAP. And I think one of the signature achievements of this program is that some of the graduates, who, as Randy noted, come from challenging backgrounds, have actually been part of the workforce that has in turn built some of the more recent developments that HAP has built, and that includes Humboldt Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a program that takes people, gives them the skills, puts them into the workforce, and they become employed through firms like Walsh Construction and others, and they begin careers in the trades, which, as we know, are good-paying jobs with benefits, and as we also know, there's a pretty significant mismatch between both the needs of our region. Sam knows this from his leadership work with WSI, the needs of our region, 38 or 40,000 jobs that need to be filled, and the mismatch with the skills of people coming out of our high schools. And this is a unique program that creates a bridge and gives sort of non-traditional candidates for construction trades jobs access to the trades and good-paying jobs. I'm very pleased to support this. Aye.
Well, I really appreciate those words, and it reminded me that I should have acknowledged Walsh Construction and other contractors who partner with Deborah to place these men and women in jobs. And honestly, I've often thought we should have a Mother Teresa Award that we annually recognize a person in our community who is selfless and whose only really goal in life is to help people less fortunate. And we have a lot of them in the community. My first nominee would be Deborah Williams. I think she's just one of those really, truly rare people who gets up every morning motivated to do this work and goes to bed at night wherein she hasn't done enough. So thanks for those. That you reminded me of a number of things I should have said, Nick. Aye.
Saltzman.
This sounds like a great program, and please to vote aye.
Potter.
You know, it's just amazing what a few dollars will do to small organizations like this that can have a maximum impact and affect the lives of many people and provide them an opportunity to succeed in life. So thank you, Commissioner. I vote aye. Please read item 1805.
Revised excuse time pilot program for employees of the Bureau of Development Services for a period to end September 30, 2009.
Commissioner?
This is a, we oftentimes at the Bureau of Development Services, as one might imagine, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see Paul here. I was going to, please, you'll do a much better job than I was. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was looking around and I thought, oh, I got to explain this.
That's thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Paul Scarlett, Bureau of Development Services Director. The ordinance in front of you is an amendment of an ordinance we brought forward 2 weeks ago, which outlines a provision to allow excuse times for employees who want to take advantage of such an option. At BDS, we are experiencing, as consistent with the economy, quite a downturn in the workload and the revenues. And this is one of the options we're providing staff to allow for, you know, reduction in our expenses, mainly personnel costs. And since 2 weeks ago when this was passed, no one has taken advantage of it. One of the sort of restrictive part of it is that it has a minimum of 5 days. In talking with employees, the union, and subsequently meeting with Commissioner Leonard, it's been recommended what 1 day would make it a lot more attractive for employees to take advantage of taking time off without pay. It also allows for your benefits to be intact and for you not to pull on accrued leave. So it's one of the great options we're looking at. We're exploring many other options to reduce our expenses, such as not filling vacant positions, reducing overtime, you know, reduction in travel. We are experiencing quite the downturn in workload and our revenues, and have been very pleased with how forthcoming employees are about wanting to help out in the situation. Some of these options are optional, but nonetheless, it's a teamwork approach. And when talking with the union, it's a very collaborative approach, and more than open to exploring and implementing some of these options. So this amendment, in part, has 5 days to 1 day. It also touches on the ability to use, to not have to use vacation time if day before and after a holiday. And I think there's another provision. So we're wanting to bring it forward for, I guess, for adoption.
Okay. And this is just another of the aspects of the continuing efforts to avoid what would have happened in another time. Employees would have been laid off by now. But because of this strategy and others we've employed, and we began a week ago Monday meeting with the unions every Monday at 1 o'clock in my office that represent the various BDS employees.
Yes.
We're working through and having very difficult discussions how we're going to get to the place to hopefully have a broader impact on employees to share the pain rather than a few that would possibly be laid off. So right. I appreciate Mark is here
yes.
and appreciate his excellent work and suggestions and ideas. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap up here. Sam has to get out.
Okay.
But thank you for your effort, and Paul, thank you for your mm-hmm. leadership.
You're welcome. I do want to say one quick thing. Mayor Potter, thank you for your years of service, your support to BDS, and you were member of the hiring committee when I got my job.
So
appreciate it.
The hiring committee of two.
Right. First position. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you, Paul.
You're welcome.
Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
It was Mark and Veronica Bernier.
She's gone.
She's gone. Call the vote. Mark, did you want to?
Just one very important point, which is to thank you, Mayor, for being here these 4 years. Your staff was very accommodating. We appreciate that as a union. Mark Bello, president of COPIA. We want to just thank you for particularly BDS and Commissioner Leonard and Human Resources for being so responsive and taking something that didn't look like it was going to work and fix it. The testimony is that we think times are tough. We think our members are going to be impacted. And the sooner that we can perhaps prevent layoffs or come up with creative ideas, the better. We are open to any idea that anyone has that is a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Please read item 1806.
Allow additional enforcement remedies and specify responsible parties subject to enforcement for vehicles and traffic violations.
This simply amends the code to allow this. I was actually going to misspeak on the last one because I was talking about this one. This allows BDS staff to enforce some of what PDOT enforces now with respect to cars on the street. The staff currently, I've actually pointed this out a number of times over the years, that you call one agency BDS if you have an abandoned car in somebody's front yard. You call another agency PDOT if you have an abandoned car on the street. And it's very frustrating for PDOT inspectors and a huge workload for, frustrating for BDS inspectors, a huge workload for PDOT, and we can help them by amending the code and getting the authority to also be able to enforce on abandoned cars on streets. So that's what this does. We've been doing it anyway, but we've been bluffing. So we thought it was time to actually give them the enforcement authority.
Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone here who wishes to address a specific issue? Please call the votes.
Adams?
On behalf of a grateful and in its fifth year of ongoing budget cuts, Bureau of Transportation, we say thank you. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1807.
Affirm management authority for certain city property in the vicinity of Mount Tabor, including the Mount Tabor Yard Nursery and Long Block.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adam, a fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I regret I wasn't here last week when we adopted the master plan for the yard, but I do want to thank Parks Director Zary Santner, many Parks employees, and the neighbors in and around the Mount Tabor area for working very hard on a management plan and a master plan, of which this is a piece of, and I really want to commend them. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Commissioner Fisher would like to make a statement.
Thank you, Mayor Potter, and this is our last meeting of the year, and I know we all have places to go, and we're the chamber has emptied out, but I would be remiss if on the eve of Christmas I did not express my heartfelt thanks to a number of people who have made this holiday season a better, healthier, and safer place for the homeless men and women and families who have been living on our streets. And I'm pleased to report to you that the $200,000 investment that the City Council authorized into severe winter weather warming centers has been an unqualified success. We are currently housing about 1,200 people a night throughout the city of Portland who otherwise would be on the street at risk of either death or significant physical harm. We are in our 12th night of running emergency shelters. We have put unprecedented strains on the system, but thanks to an unprecedented collaboration and partnership across jurisdictions, we have pulled this off, and I can report to you with some significant pride that we have set a new standard of emergency response. There's a number of people I'd like to specifically call out, Mayor, and many of these people I would put in the category of unsung heroes. They are not used to getting recognition. They don't seek it. They don't do what they do in anticipation of recognition. But again, I think they are the unsung heroes in our community. I'm going to start with the folks at the Portland Office of Emergency Management, in particular Carmen Merlo and Mark Chubb. For the first time ever, they helped us set up an emergency management plan with a communications plan. We've never had that kind of level of discipline in our efforts. They are just wonderful professionals. We are so fortunate to have both of them and their line staff. Second, I want to acknowledge the work of the Portland Water Bureau. We've had some significant challenges over the past few nights getting people to various shelters throughout the city. And it's in part a function of the fact that our roads are challenged and TriMet has been dealing with unprecedented challenges of their own. And I want to just acknowledge Commissioner Leonard, Director Schaff, and the employees of the Water Bureau who stepped up. Three vehicles over the last three nights. They're going to continue through Christmas and through the weekend. The three gentlemen who volunteered for this service, who are working long days and then into the evening driving Water Bureau trucks, I intend to nominate for the highest award that the Fire Bureau gives at its annual recognition. And I'll be talking to the new fire commissioner about that so that they get proper recognition next year. It has literally been a lifesaver, their presence. But I would say part of but their service has been reflective of this community-wide effort to help people. And what has impressed me the most as I've talked to the Water Bureau employees who've been involved is that they have repeatedly told me during the coldest night that it is an honor for them to be helping their fellow citizens. I want to acknowledge the work of the Fire Bureau, Chief Klum, who gave his unqualified support for a multi-task effort, to Chief Schmidt, and to the Silva brothers, two twins born in Lentz, two guys that work long days and have an HVAC business on the side because they have two parents that they are supporting. Both of these gentlemen, when again we had tremendous transportation challenges, they pulled two vans out of the Fire Bureau's training center, equipped them for this mission, and have been running shuttle services all evening, and they are the last ones on the job. They will not go home until every single person that they see on the streets has been approached and given the option of being housed. And I understand that over the last few days, occasionally they've been able to get 1 to 3 hours of sleep before they go for their regular assignments as full-time Fire Bureau employees. They are incredible heroes. And to a number of other firefighters that have stepped up, and I'll just give you one example, we are running an emergency warming center at the Four Square Church at 1300 Northeast Ankeny. And the other day when we got a lot of snow, there were access issues, and we knew we could not get people in wheelchairs and other people with mobility issues into the center. And so a station nearby dispatched a crew. They came over and they shoveled the entire campus out so we could get access to the church. And then just yesterday, given the enormous strains on the system, not surprisingly, we had a significant failure with the sewer systems at Four Square Church. The main sewer pipe broke and flooded onto the street. That put at risk our ability to use that facility. So again, a group of firefighters came over, worked with another crew to dig out the system. A contractor was brought in. They patched and fixed the problem, and then paved over and completed the work so that we could open the shelter on time. An extraordinary, but as I've learned as in my 6 months as the commissioner in charge of the Fire Bureau, what I would have considered extraordinary is ordinary for this Bureau in the way they respond to emergencies. I want to thank the Police Bureau, Chief Rosie Sizer and her command, and the rank-and-file officers who every 2 hours have been cycling through our shelters. And they are there just to be a calming influence. They are there just to provide backup support for the many volunteers from the Red Cross that are working long days, long nights. But they've been enormously helpful. And also to Fire Bureau EMTs who have been cycling through our centers every 2 hours in the evening providing emergency medical services to anybody who needs them. To TriMet, that when they have been able, have been supplying us with buses to help transport people and have on occasion supplied buses which we've used as temporary warming centers. We want to thank them. To the Red Cross that has been our partner in operating the emergency warming centers, I have met more dedicated men and women who are Red Cross volunteers, many of whom, I will tell you, do not live in the city of Portland. The real heroes are the folks who've come in from neighboring communities who have answered the call to help us at a time of stress. And these volunteers are working evening and night shifts at centers that are well beyond capacity and doing so with great cheer. I want to thank Thomas Bruner and his staff and all the volunteers who signed up.